I said earlier this morning, we're starting a new series through the book of Philippians, looking at everything that Paul and Timothy say there to the people at Philippi, and focusing on seeking the glory of God. That's going to be our focus through all of this. And today, we're going to focus on verse 6 of the first 11 verses there, in continuing in the work. So with that, let's just pause again for prayer. Father, lead us into a clear understanding of your word. Open our eyes and our hearts to see what you have contained in these words and preserved for us, so that we might be strengthened and encouraged on our walk, so that we can continue in the work, that which is to bring about your glory. So, Father, reveal your word to us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. A few things recently have kind of helped me understand what it is to seek for something beyond myself, how to engage in something that is so exciting. One of the things just happened last night, and this is gonna, they're both gonna be goofy and silly, and so just take them at face value. Last night I sat down at the end of a busy day, and I turned on TV, and one of the shows that was on was one of the Star Wars movies. I'm sure you all sat down and watched it last night. Star Wars is this epic saga of a future reality world beyond our understanding, beyond what it's actually going to be. Don't worry, we're not going there. But it's this epic battle of good and evil, and how one good force fights against an evil force, and how that plays out. And you find yourself, and in different movies along those same lines, any kind of movie that has that good versus evil storyline has that same ability, and what they're trying to do is get you caught up in this struggle, and so that you will root for the good guys. If you root for the bad guys, my office is just across the parking lot over here. We can talk about that, but the idea is to root for the good guys, to see the good that's happening in whatever world or existence you may be in. In this one, it's some future world. In other movies that you may have seen, this struggle of good and evil, maybe it was the old Western struggle or whatever it might be, to get you caught up in rooting for the good. And it's meant to draw you in, so that you feel like you want to contribute some way to the good work that's happening. That was one thing that recently just got me thinking in that direction. The other one happened a few weeks ago with the Masters Golf Tournament. I don't know if any of you all watch golf either. I may be alone in all of my illustrations this morning, so bear with me. At the Masters, just so I know who I'm speaking to, how many actually are familiar or watched any part of the Masters? Okay, good. At least I got a few. You know what it's about. It is the biggest golf tournament. The winner of that gets to wear the green jacket. It's a big ceremony. It's an intense golf tournament. Pressure is on. Jack Nicklaus has won it 6 times now. I forget who won it 4. The winner this year was Tiger Woods. Now, you may have heard the name Tiger Woods throughout the years, and I don't know if you enjoy him, if you watch golf, if you enjoy him as a golfer. He is one of the people in golf that has kind of set the standard in this generation for golfers. He's had a lot of things to struggle with as far as physical things. He has injured his back. He has broken his back. He has had all kinds of issues, things in his neck. He has also had moral failure in his life, and that completely changed his game. And most people thought he would never come back. He has come back, and I don't agree. I'm not making a statement about his moral life or anything like that. As a golfer, he is a wonderful golfer. What he did at the Masters tournament this year has never been done by him before. This was the Masters tournament of all Masters tournaments in our lifetime, because Tiger Woods has never won a major tournament, the U.S. Open, the Masters, no matter what it is, he has never won a major tournament if he was not leading the tournament on Saturday evening. They play their last tournament on Sunday. If he was not leading on Saturday in the major, he has never won. Never once. And he has played a lot of majors. This year, Tiger came back after Saturday's close to win the Masters. And people that know that and are excited about that, whether you're for him or not, that was an exciting tournament because he was going to come behind. He was going to have the opportunity to do what has never been done by him before. And it was just this time of excitement and wondering what's all going to happen. And for my sake, I'm glad that the tournament was done at 3 o'clock in the afternoon so I could still go about my activities. Tiger won it. It was this thing where you're also rooting, if you're in favor of him or if you appreciate it, you're rooting for him to do what has never been done before. And I'm thinking, these are the kinds of ways we need to be thinking about the Christian life. We see the struggle of good versus evil in our world, and we want to be caught up in the good things. We want to figure out how we can participate in that. And sometimes in our Christian life, we get to a place where we have seemed to have never moved forward from where we have been. We've never been able to accomplish that one thing. That hurdle has been there for so long, and we've never been able to accomplish it. And it seems like nobody else has ever been able to do it either. Do you get to that point in your Christian life where you say, I want to see that happen. I want to see something happen in my Christian life or our Christian lives that nobody has ever seen before? This last week or so, this has just been flooding my mind, and this is going to bubble out if it doesn't explode out of me in the next weeks and months about this being our story. Paul is going to encourage us in our walk, in moving forward, in seeking for just that kind of a thing. So let's look at what Paul and Timothy have to say. Timothy is never typically attributed to scripture writing, but Paul and Timothy have been involved in different books of the New Testament. So not just Paul, but Paul and Timothy. The first thing that is interesting as I was looking at this passage, and I have noticed this before in New Testament books that start with some sort of a greeting, never overlook the greetings. I say that because we have a tendency in our society to not be so big on greetings. When we were in Lesotho, that was one thing that we particularly were made aware of, how important the greeting was and how often you did it and how meaningful it was, and even trying to get it correct so you honored them in that. The greeting was important, and I've seen that several times in the New Testament books, that if you would just breeze through that and thinking that you're going to get now to the meat of it, we've probably missed lots of things that would help encourage us in our faith. So we're going to spend a little time on the greeting. It's really those first 11 verses that we read this morning. The first thing is the focus on how Paul and Timothy present themselves there in verse 1. Paul and Timothy. So go to verse 1 there. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Servants of Christ Jesus. Paul has introduced himself in different books in different ways. Servant is not often the way he describes himself. He has done it at different times. Most of the time, it's Paul, an apostle, called by God. And the way he describes himself, and this is Paul and Timothy, the way they describe themselves gives you a little bit of insight as to maybe why they're writing, or just a little bit different aspect of why they could be writing. That pops up often enough in Paul's writings where he's addressing something, and so sometimes he goes into a lengthy explanation of his apostleship because he's going to be rebutting people in that community that don't think he has the authority to say what he has to say. And other people have been saying things, and they don't have the right to say it. And so Paul wants to establish why he has the right to say what he's going to say. Paul, an apostle called by the will of God. Sometimes in some of his writings, he's even listed his whole pedigree, if you will. Everything that makes him qualified for what he's doing. Here, Paul and Timothy are referred to as servants of Christ Jesus. When it comes down to it, the only thing that is of utmost importance in their lives, in anyone's life that is a follower of Christ, is that they are servants of Christ Jesus. You and I are apostles. We don't have that same place of authority and revelation and insight that Paul had. I can reiterate for you the Word of God, and that's my task. My task is to bring the Word of God to you and encourage you in that. And God has given me a place of authority in that, but I'm still just a servant too. And if you would take me away from all of this, if you would strip whatever titles I have and say I can't be here anymore, I am still, you cannot take away from the fact that I am a servant of Christ Jesus. And that can't be taken away from you either. We have all kinds of hats that we wear. We're husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children and sisters and brothers and cousins and co-workers and all those types of things. And all of those have their place in our lives. But this one stands out above them all. Servants of Christ Jesus. And he addresses himself and themselves as servants. And then he addresses the people. In much the same way, he talks about to all the saints. All the saints. Now, sometimes we get hung up on the thing saints, and in some of the rest of the world around us, the saints are those that have gone on and passed on before us. If that were the case, Paul is standing in a cemetery and speaking, and he's not doing that. The saints are not just the people that have gone on. They're not just the ones that stand out above the rest. But that's kind of the idea. Those that stand out, not above the rest of Christians. These are not the super Christians. The saints are merely those who are set apart for God in his work because of Christ Jesus. A saint is anyone who then also falls under the title or heading or characteristic of servant. If you are a servant of Jesus Christ, you are also one of his saints. You have been set apart by God through Jesus Christ. And those are very important things for us to make sure we have our minds wrapped around, because we can lose sight of who we really are. And just a reminder, we are nothing in and of ourselves. And that's what we focused on Easter morning, when we realized what Christ went through for you and I, and then to think that somehow we don't have significance to him. My goodness, we are so significant because of what he has done for us. And now we are saints set apart for God by Jesus Christ, and that's our significance. Servants and saints. And we are set apart for a particular reason. We have something to do, and that's our partnership in the gospel. If you look at verse 5, it is because of the partnership in the gospel. That is the work that all of us, that's the way Paul was addressing them. They are partners in the gospel. That has been the command of Christ before he died. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Preach the gospel. Make sure that the world around you knows the good news. And now Paul and Timothy, they're addressing the people there, and he's encouraging them. He's reminding them that you people are partners in the gospel. That's something else that's so easy for us to lose sight of. It's so easy for us to show up here, show up Monday night, show up on whatever night in those things and be a community, to have fellowship, to engage in activities. Our primary goal, our task here as a body of believers is to be partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And that's what Paul is trying to stir them up in a reminder. We are partners in the gospel. That is the main focus of the Christian life. And everything else that draws us away from that is just a distraction. And we're missing the mark. And so Paul and Timothy here, as they address the people, they're trying to remind them of the main thing that's important in their Christian lives. We are servants, we are set apart for the work of God, and that work of God is our partnering in the gospel. And that works itself out in so many ways. That is the umbrella of everything that the Christian life is about. And I think we need to be reminded of that from time to time, that the things that we do, the reason we have meal ministries, the reason we have times of prayer, the reason we have fundraisers and everything else that's going on, the reason we visit one another when we're beat down or sick or whatever. The reason we do all of those things is part of the gospel message that Jesus Christ has come into the world to bring salvation and to bring life, new life, real life, lasting life, eternal life. And that life is a transformed life. So everything that you and I do is because we have been transformed. It's all part of the gospel message. It's the big umbrella of what the Christian life is all about. In Christ Jesus, we have life, and it is a life like we have never had before. It is a life that we did not have before we came to Christ. It's a life that is so focused on the ministry and the kingdom and the work of God through Jesus Christ. That's the focus, and it all comes from transformed living. That works itself out in different ways. Paul, in his effort to make sure that he was out there spreading the gospel, making sure that every group of people around him would be reached, he had to engage in a way of thinking that made it possible for him to be attractive to this group of people. and to that group of people. So in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, he says, to the weak I became weak. Those people that are struggling in life with something, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. Paul knew that in order to reach the people around him, he would not cater to their whims, but he would identify with them and meet them there. To the Jews, he spoke as one that knows what it is to be a Jew. And he engaged them in that way of life, speaking to them about what the Jews would have known about God, about the Scriptures. To the Gentiles who didn't grow up with that, he became like a Gentile in his thinking and the way he processed, the way he talked with them. He became like that so that he could then bring the gospel message in, which is a gospel for the Gentiles as well. And it would intersect their lives in this particular way because they didn't grow up in the Jewish faith. Gentiles were separated from that. They didn't have that as their background. So Paul engaged them where they were at that way so that he might, by some means, by understanding them and meeting them where they're at, he would then be able to save some of them. Paul knew that if he would only come, because he was the Jew of Jews, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You read his pedigree, and you can about see him get all puffed up as he's talking about that. And Paul said, that was all rubbish. It's nothing. But Paul was a Jew of Jews, and he could have just gone around and said, you need to be like us Jews, otherwise you don't have a chance at getting into the kingdom. And there were enough people that were doing that. There were enough Pharisees and Sadducees, people that were saying, no, you need to be like a Jew. You need to be this way in your Christian life, or you can't be in the kingdom. You will not be a Christian if you're not doing this and doing that. Paul became all things to all people so that he might be able to draw them into the kingdom and bring them salvation as well. That has to be our mindset as well. Servants, we are servants of Christ Jesus. We are saints set apart for God through Christ Jesus. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to figure out how we can become all things to all people so that we might have an influence on all of them. And that's the continuing work, to continue in what God has started. Look at verse 6, Philippians 1, 6. I'm sure of this, that he who began will bring it to completion. That is so encouraging. You don't have this huge task set before you. You and I don't have this work that is not accomplishable. He who began will bring it to completion. We will participate in that, but do you see whose responsibility this is? Whose work this is? God, through Christ, has begun a good work in us. He's begun it, and he's going to make sure that it comes about in completion. We put all these things together, and it all begins to make sense. We're just servants. If you're the money manager for somebody, you have the easiest job in the world, taking care of somebody else's money. Should we give to this? Yeah, why not? I got all kinds of money. How easy is it to just be the one who's in charge of something else? The same way here, God is the one in charge. We just get to follow along with whatever he's doing. We're going to be servants following him. It's all on him. He began it. He'll continue it. He'll bring it to completion. We're just going to be servants set apart for the work and doing everything that we can by all means to reach those around us. they're not only engaged in just the work of the gospel, it's everything. It's everything about the very work and the very purpose of God. If you're part of our evening study here in the book of Genesis, everything that we see at the beginning there is a revealing of the very purpose of God in the world. And understanding that what he is doing is creating a universe where we have purpose, where everything has purpose, where the stars have a purpose. The stars are not just there to twinkle. They guide people across the world through seas and lands and everything else. The stars have a purpose in God's kingdom. The trees and the animals and the birds and even the mosquitoes have purpose in God's kingdom. And we especially have a purpose in God's kingdom. It's us trying to fulfill the very purpose for which God has called us. The whole thing here, when Paul and Timothy are addressing the people of Philippi, it's all set in a capsule of prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you in my prayers, and I've got a right to feel this way about you, and it's my prayer that you would be this and that. And that's where Paul leaves them. When he gets to verse 11 there, he wants to make sure that everything is being done in an excellent way so that we're pure and blameless. Why? Go to verse 11 there. So that we will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. As we're doing this, we continue to be a fruit-bearing people, filled up with it, nourished by the fruit that, even the fruit that we bear, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. For what purpose? To what end? Because that's where we need to keep our focus, to the glory and praise of God. You see how much you and I can miss if we just quickly skim through a greeting at the beginning of a letter, how much can set the stage for everything that might be coming later on in the rest of the letter. If you come to a place like this and you now understand where Paul is engaging you, how he's strengthening you, encouraging you, training your mind to think right, now you can move forward in a way that you're ready. You're right there with him. That's where we need to be, brothers and sisters. Fully established in who we are, what our purpose is, what our call is, who's called us, who began the work, what is the work, how is it going to continue, how can we be a part of that work, how can we continue in that work to the praise and glory of God. We want to be a people that are seeking for the glory of God. And so when we have that as our focus, we'll find it. You start to look for something, and this is what people get accused of often. You begin to look for arguments, and you'll find them. Well, if you begin to look for the glory of God and you train your mind that way, you will see the glory of God. If you and I are not ready and prepared to seek for the glory of God, we're going to miss it. I've missed it myself. When I begin to understand that I'm a servant, that I'm set apart, that I'm called to the work, and it's up to me to figure out how to do that for everybody around me, because God wants to do the work that he started in me and bring it to a place of completion so that I might see his glory once again. What an exciting time as a Christian to realize who you are and what you are involved in. It didn't get left there with just Paul and Timothy or James and Peter and John. The call is still for us to continue in the work for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, that's what we have asked for this whole service. We want to be a part of your work. We want to see your glory. We want to not only witness it once again, but we want to be a part of bringing it about. And so would you strengthen us each day for what we need to do? Help us remember our place in your kingdom. Servants sounds maybe like a lowly task until we remember we are servants of the Lord of Lords. What a great place to be. Servants of the Lord of Lords. So Jesus, strengthen us in that. Remind us of that. And those days where we feel ill-equipped and unprepared for the work, remind us that you are the one leading. It is your work. It's what you have called us to. And then that we can rely on you. We can pray to you for the strength that we need to do what you have called us to do. So, Lord, help us see your glory. And help us to be people ready to reveal it to the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.